Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Well, I must be getting old here. Trouble finding 2 Thessalonians. I know it's in this book somewhere. I attended a funeral this week, and the fellow who preached the funeral, I'm sure he did the best he knew. But he said that it was the will of God that all men be saved. Well, that's just not true. Our Lord Jesus said, told the Pharisees, "You're not my sheep, therefore you don't believe." And he said, "I give my life for the sheep." Well, he said, "They're not his sheep." That cut that out. And our Lord Jesus says, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Well, they were given before the foundation of the world in the covenant of grace. And it is those who he came to save. And Isaiah said, "He shall not fail." So everyone that the Lord Jesus came to save was given him of the Father before the foundation of the world, and they'll certainly, absolutely, without fail, be brought to glory.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This if, and but gospel is not the gospel that Paul and Silvanus and Titus or Timothy preached, because what they preached was yea, yea, and not yea and nay. It was yea forever to, for in Christ Jesus, everything is yea and amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, where are we at? The church of God is in God the Father and in God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 20. John 14, 20. It says the same thing that said. John 14, 20. "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Turn on over to John 17, 21. John 17, 21. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Our union with God the Father is in and through and by our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the God the Father. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. We're not saved by a flimsy, maybe salvation. And we are saved. God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Who is us? That's his church and people, them who are one in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God the Father.
Amen.
It's very frustrating to have to listen to people speak about an if and a maybe salvation. Under the Old Testament, under the law, if you will, and we see how that turned out. Didn't turn out so well. Because men won't. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are, according to that, we are sanctified in the Father and the Son. Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and let me just turn over here and read it right quick. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them which are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. God sanctified us. He set us apart. And he set us apart in someone, in his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, let me turn back to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Well, I'll just read verses 1 and 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ. God put those whom he sanctified, he put them in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is in God the Father. Now back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of God which is in God our Father. Well, whose father is he? He's our Father.
Amen.
Amen. He's believers' Father. Amen. Whoever those believers are, wherever they are, he is our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you. Free, unmerited favor of God. If God be for us. Who can be against us?
Amen.
Grace unto you. Accepted. Beloved.
Yeah.
He purposed to do us good.
Amen.
If God is for us. He purposed to give us all the inheritance of grace. To give us everything in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Grace unto you and peace. Peace with God. He's not a God of judgment to us. He's a God of peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good word to do, in every good work and word, I think it is.
Amen.
He is our peace. the Lord Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, for to make in himself of twain, both Jew and Gentile, one new man, which is Christ, in the head and the body. That's the one new man. We're members of him, members in particular of him. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. We don't thank you, we thank God for you. We don't thank you that you repented and believed and did something. We thank God that he worked in you to accomplish his will. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren beloved, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Well, now, why does anybody's faith grow exceedingly? Who maketh you to differ one from another? And what do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do some boast as though they received it not? So if our faith grows exceedingly, it's because of the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure. All the cold shoulders you get. All when you meet somebody, they turn and walk the other way. All the heads down won't look you in the face. All of those kind of things, and worse than that in other generations, all the nooses that you looked at, and the burnings at the stake, and all that being sawed asunder, and all that the people of God have endured throughout the ages. I think about Polycarp when they burned him at the stake. He would not change his testimony. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not a wannabe Lord. He is Lord. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, our testimony, our gospel, separates us from this world and places an enmity between us and this world. And they despise and hate our gospel, and for the gospel's sake, they despise and hate us actually. They can't come out and say it. That's not socially acceptable in our day and not politically correct and all that business. But there's enmity in their heart toward us for the gospel's sake. And that's a manifest token of God, who they are and who we are. We're the children of God, they're not. And the reason is that they're not is the darkness and the darkness of their own heart. They hate the way that God saves sinners by the righteousness that man has no part in establishing. By a righteousness that man cannot reach in himself. Now, let me look back here. verse 5, it says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Well, are we worthy in ourselves? No. Not one of us. We're all sinners in ourselves. If God leave us alone, we think lies. We practice lies. We lie to ourselves. Well, it's all right with my soul. No, not until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and witnesses to us that he shed his precious blood for us. Not until the blood of Christ sprinkles our conscience from an evil conscience, sprinkles us from an evil conscience. But we're counted worthy.
Amen.
We're counted worthy. Look at Luke 21, I think it's Luke 21:36. Luke 21:36. I believe that's where I want to go. I'm not sure. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Counted worthy. His righteous robe that he produced by himself, all by himself, is put upon us. Look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord just as he is. Just as this book says he is. You know, people worship the God of their understanding. And that may be anybody. To the Egyptians, that was a statue of a frog. That was their God. They worshipped. Worshipping the God of your understanding will get you in trouble. You better be worshipping the God that has revealed himself in this Bible. Now to the saved, that is the God of their understanding. They know who their God is.
Mm-hmm.
They know what he's done. And they know where he is now, and they know where they're going to be based on what he has done, not on what they have done. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorneth himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Turn back to Isaiah 45. And let's look at verses, begin reading in verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father in the New Testament. Surely one shall say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. And you know, it's the greatest blessing that a person can receive in this world is to find out that, hey, I can believe what's in this book. I can believe what this book says about that man, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. I can believe that. Well, what does that tell us? We're of the seed of Israel. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Well, how is it that we're justified? By believing. Well, actually, we're justified by his blood. But believing lets us know that we're among the justified. That is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. All right, let's go on. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now I'm back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'll back up. That was verse 6. I'll back up and read verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy. Now, that's a righteous judgment of God, that we're counted worthy for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always have been. I am crucified with Christ. Christ hath redeemed us.
Amen.
It's done.
Yeah.
That ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. They're the enemies of God. They're the enemies of his gospel. Those who will not have, those who sent the message after the Lord said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And who Luke chapter 4, verse 18, whenever he began to speak of the sovereignty of God, they took him out to a cliff and would have pushed him over the cliff. No, my natural man said, we don't like that kind of preaching. And we're going to find us an Armenian church that loves everybody. And wants to worship with everybody. And we just hug and love right up to everybody, regardless what they believe, what they preach. We don't care if the first church of Satan is written over the door. But God sent them trouble. Now he sends trouble to us to correct us because we're his children. Mm-hmm. But he sends trouble to this world as a punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
Now watch it through your life. You'll see that happen. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And I know some of you have.
Yeah.
And to you that are troubled by the world, because of what you believe, because of the doctrine that you believe, rest with us. Mm-hmm. Just take a little rest. Just lay back and go to sleep. You know everything's going to finally be all right, because it's the Lord Jesus that's watching over you. And every moment of your life, he gives his angels charge over you. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? That's their business. God sent them to take care of his people. Now, he may let you break your leg like he did Gail out here.
They'll read above that.
But somehow or another, it's according to his purpose.
Yes, it is.
He'll bring his will out of it. He'll work what he intends to work in it. You may never understand it, but still he'll get the job done.
Right.
So just rest.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Don't get excited. All things are of God. And you hear our trouble, rest with us when our Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now they're coming with him. And he'll send his angels and they'll gather together his elect from the four corners of the earth.
Amen.
And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. What a sight that's going to be. What a sight that's... Look at Psalm 68. Verse 17. Chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. The angels are called the chariots of God. Now he's coming. When he came, angels announced his coming. And they ministered to him while he was here on the earth at his baptism, at his temptation. When he was tempted in the wilderness, they ministered to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. I have no doubt they were all around him at the cross. And they're coming with him when he comes back to take vengeance. The Lord is a man of war. And he's coming to take vengeance on them who have despised his gospel. And obeyed not the gospel. Now how is it that you obey the gospel? Believe the gospel. You know, the gospel is based on the promise of God. And a fitting reaction to a promise is that if you believe the one who made the promise is true and cannot lie, you believe the promise. Well, the promise here is everyone that believeth has everlasting life. What a wonderful thing to have God work in your heart and in your mind to believe this gospel. To be able. God enabled. God has made you able. And me able. To believe, hey, this is right. I'm not interested in hearing anything else. It's all a lot of foolishness. I don't want to hear anything else. This is the gospel, the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is salvation. All those free will theories are damnable heresies. Anyway, he's coming with angels. in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is important to God the Father. It's His remedy for our leprosy of sin that we all have. And He cleanses us thoroughly from that disease. Puts it away from us. Still have sin in our members, but our members are dead. Crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's those who know not God and obey not the gospel. Now, to know God is eternal life. Now, look at 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. Well, who knows that? Believers. We know that the Son of God has come. The elect believe that. That's the faith of God's elect. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Give us an eye that sees, an ear to hear, a heart that understands. Planted the gospel in the middle of our heart. Give us a new heart and a new spirit and cause us to walk according to that testimony. And hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. To know God's eternal life. And we are in Him. And we are in Him. And we are in Him. That is true. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who believe are comfortable with this gospel, who love this gospel, are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts, maybes. Look at John 17:3. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Well, those who believe the gospel know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is eternal life. Now let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Begin reading at verse 8. And in flaming fire, well, I'll go back to verse 7. And to your trouble rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. In flaming fire, that's going to be a sight now. Something this world ain't ever seen. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. We're going to praise him. We're going to be glad to see him come. And to be admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, the Lord sends men out to preach a gospel that is impossible for anybody to hear but God's elect. And the reason it is because the hardness of their heart, they're so prejudiced against it, they won't hear it. But whom he will, he breaks up that hard and stony heart and gives them a heart that is able to receive the impression of that word. And he plants that word in their heart. Verse 11, Wherefore we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. There we are, counted again. Count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, if you can comprehend the goodness of God, then you can figure out what the good pleasure of his goodness toward us is in Christ Jesus. Under the law, all the good pleasure of God toward his children couldn't be given because of our transgressions. But our transgressions and the law that had to be honored has been taken out of the way by fulfillment. Our Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled that law. Every requirement of that law has been fulfilled by him in whom we are. Look at Colossians 2:14. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to its cross. Now, God's holiness and truth outside of Christ is against us. He will not acquit the guilty. Mm-hmm. And we're all guilty in ourselves. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore our guilt away. Completely away. And because he took it away, we're not guilty. Our guilt is gone. Our sin is gone. As so far as the east is from the west, that's how far the Lord has separated us from our sins. God has cast all our sins behind his back and in the depths of the sea. To give us a picture that they're dealt with, he's put them away. Wherefore we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, in the gospel, the Lord Jesus has given us everything of the inheritance of grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The good pleasure of His goodness is to give us everything, like Brother Bill said. Everything that Adam lost, we gain back in the Lord Jesus Christ. But under the law, you got to add 20%. You have to add the fifth part. Well, God has done that. We're in a lot better shape than Adam ever thought about being. Adam was mutable and fell. We can't be. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Adam lost, we gained back and a lot more with it. We are the children of God. But we've always been the children of God. Always have been. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Now that's what life's about for us. His name, His reputation, His power, His glory. I know it makes you mad whenever you hear some fool get up and talk about, well, God wants to do this, but you won't let Him. That gets under your skin. It does mine. And the reason is because you love that person that fool's talking about. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him. Look at 2 Thessalonians. We'll turn over a page there. Just look across the page to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He hath called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory. Good pleasure of His goodness, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't even begin to imagine the glory that is ours being one with the Lord Jesus Christ. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a gift. What a wonderful gift. To be enabled to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen.